Amen. Give God the biggest shout of praise you've given him all day today. Amen. We started a series 4 weeks ago, called Reigning in Life, and we based it off this foundation passage in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Let's take a look at this passage. We went over it several times, but it bears repeating. Watch this. Paul writing in the book of Romans, the whole book of Romans is about reigning in life, and he explains, I call it the Magna Carta of the gospel, because he explains how the gospel works. He explains the power in the gospel. He explains the two things that cause you to reign in life, abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So in this series, in this part, and I'll call it volume one, in this part, we're just covering this one of these two things that we need to reign. It's the gift of righteousness. Watch what he says. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. What's that man's name? Good. Y'all got it. Not Jesus. Through one man's offense, death reigned or ruled, basileia is the word, like a king through the one, Adam. But much more, and that's important right there, much more than the way death reigns in humanity. We see how death reigns, right? All of us will have a funeral if Jesus tarries. All of us have been touched by sickness, by lack in one way or another through, isn't that right? All of us have experienced it directly or indirectly, or have been impacted by what Adam did. We were all born into sin. Everybody's born into sin, can't escape it by your doings, right? But the Bible is saying here, what Paul is saying is, much more than the way that gravity of death has impacted humanity, much more those who achieve, receive. Thank you back there. That's my brother's voice. I can recognize it. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness might reign in life. Will reign in life. What does that mean? The exact opposite of what Adam did and the impact of what Adam did, those who receive those two things will reign in life. And exactly the opposite. Sickness, death, lack, all that came through what Adam did, through what Jesus did, brings life and causes you to reign in life. How many of you can understand that what Adam did was very powerful? But what the Bible is saying here is what Jesus did is much more powerful. You didn't sin to cause you to be impacted by that. Adam did it to cause you to be impacted by that. So if Adam sinned and put you in sin and death, how many of you know we were all born into sin? Because of our sin? No, because of Adam's sin. That's what the verse is saying. And likewise, what gets us out of sin is not what we do. And people have a really difficult struggle with this because they don't understand righteousness. It's not our righteousness that we're saved with. It's his righteousness. That's why it's called a gift of righteousness. You can't do anything to earn or deserve it. It's unmerited. It's a gift. The moment any of your doings have anything to do with it, you have no longer earned it. You have deserved it. And Paul goes through extensive measures to explain that that's not how this works. In fact, the moment you get into earning your righteousness, you lose the power of that righteousness. That's what I want to show you tonight, all right? Let's look at this one more passage. I did it this afternoon. Who's back there? Is that B? Okay, whoever it is, can y'all put up for me 2 Corinthians? By the way, I love you, whoever's back there. Is that the Shaw? The Shaw girls, they know it back there. It's going to be good. Can y'all put up 2 Corinthians 5:21? And if you can't, no worries, because we know it by heart. Come on, y'all. Okay, here it is. No worries. No shade at all. You're going to know it by heart as much as I show this, because this is an important verse. Watch this. For he, God, thank you back there. Make some noise from back there in the back. For he, who, God, made him, who, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin. For us, God made Jesus, who never sinned, to be sin. How could he do that? He imputed it to him, right? Why? That we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. That's the great exchange on the cross, and that's a vitally important passage for you to understand. And we went over it before, but just so you know, this whole thing is about righteousness that has been imputed. The same way Christ did no sin, we don't do works to get our righteousness. He became sin without sinning. We became righteous without working for it by the works of the law. It is gifted to us, right? Say amen right there. All right. Now, again, I'm already on week four, so I've shared a lot of truth. If this is your first time here, if you haven't missed any session, you've missed a lot. So go back and hear. You can always download my notes as well and study all that. And I'm going to continue going on righteousness till I tell you everything I know about it, all right? So we got a few more sessions that we got to talk just about righteousness before we get to grace. We're just talking about righteousness, not the grace aspect yet, amen? Five things. This is where we ended last week. Last week, we ended on five foundations of the gift of righteousness. Let's review this real quickly. Then we're going to go into my material that I need to cover today. All right? Y'all ready? Number one foundation of the gift of righteousness is that the righteousness of God is revealed and not rewarded. Must be revealed and not rewarded. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Y'all know this one. Paul, in his opening remarks about Romans, tells what it's about. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, which is euangelion, of Christ, the good news, the glad tidings of Christ. For it, the glad tidings, the gospel is some power of God. It is the power of God. The power of God is in the gospel, right? For the gospel is the definite article. That word power there is dynamis, where we get our word dynamite. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Same word. For it is the power of God to salvation. We know that word soteria, short form, sozo, which means saved, healed, delivered, set free, prospered, right? It doesn't just mean going to heaven. It means everything that God has for you. The power of the gospel is, it's the power of God to healing. The gospel, the good news of Christ, is the power of God to deliverance. It's the power of God for prosperity. The gospel is your key to getting everything that God has. Watch this. Why? For everyone who believes, not does anything, not behaves, but believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. We know that Jesus came for the Jew first, right? For in the gospel of Christ, that's it, right? For in it, the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is what? Rewarded, revealed. The key to the gospel, to the righteousness of God, is it must be revealed. You must have a revelation of it. The righteousness of God is not caught, it must be taught. It must be revealed. Are y'all with me? It is not rewarded, it is revealed. What I mean by that is, every born-again believer who has accepted Jesus and believes in Jesus as their Lord and Savior has and is the righteousness of God in Christ. They have God's very own righteousness. Can you get any more righteous than having God's righteousness? No, you can't get any more right. It's his righteousness. That's why he keeps calling it the righteousness of God. You have God's very own righteousness. For in the gospel, what makes the gospel and what gives it its power is a revelation of the righteousness of God. And that's what most people don't have. That's what most people want to argue about. That's what most people don't get. And that's why they're broke, busted, and disgusted. Say amen right there. That's a hard saying, but it's true. And it says right here, for in it, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. How is it revealed? From believing to believing. In other words, the righteousness of God is progressive in understanding and not in standing. Do y'all get what I'm saying by that? You can't get any more righteousness of God. You can only get, it's progressive through understanding, not in right standing. The more I know about it doesn't make me more righteous. The more I know about it gives me the ability to flow in it and operate in its power more effectively and more progressively. Are y'all listening to me in this place? That's why it's so, look, what is the next statement? The just, that same word just is righteous. The righteous shall live by right believing. You're going to be healed by right believing. You're going to live by right believing. You're going to live by believing right. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. All right. So that's our foundation. So rewarded, righteousness of God is revealed and not rewarded. Y'all see that? It has to be revealed. Number two, the righteousness of God is declared and not deserved. This is vitally important as well. The righteousness of God is declared and its power is executed by your declaration of it. Let me show you that. Look in Romans chapter 3. All this is in Romans. It's in Galatians as well. But watch this. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, I'm going to read through 26, New Living Translation for simplicity. For no man can ever be made right with God by doing the law, what the law commands. Most believers are unaware of that. They think keeping the law makes them right with God. There's benefits to keeping the law, but not with God. That's so good news right there. Not because you want to break the law, but because we all sin and miss it. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now, say now, God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. The prophets all attested to what we live in now. Isaiah prophesied about this. David prophesied about this. Abraham talked about this. We're going to look at that all in Romans 4, but not today. We are made right with God. How? By placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for who? Everyone who believes. There's no matter who you are, there are no exceptions. This is without exception. Come on, somebody. Amen. For everyone has sinned. In the Greek, this actually says all are continually sinning. We're all sinning. Do you get why? Because the next statement says, for we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Do y'all realize how holy and perfect God is? Yeah. It's up here. The Bible says in Isaiah 64 and 6 that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing we can do in our own strength that makes us excellent and perfect like God. That doesn't mean we strive for it. We want to do right. But the key to doing right is understanding the righteousness of God. It is the power for doing right. All right, watch this. For everyone has sinned, for we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God freely and graciously does what? Declares that we are righteous. God declares us righteous. Who righteous? He did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Next. 25. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. Here we go. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead, including them, in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate whose righteousness? His righteousness. It's his righteousness that gets us everything, not yours. Right? For he himself is fair and just, and he does what? Declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. If God declares sinners to be right when they believe in Jesus, guess what? We are believers. Why do you think your sin can make you unrighteous? It can't. Your sin didn't make you unrighteous. Adam's did. Come on, y'all. You got to get that. Yeah. Now watch why. This is why this is so important. I got to belabor this because I got to make sure you understand this. This is your key to abundance. This is your key for breakthrough, all right? So we saw there that God declared us righteous. And what we covered one day was that the way God declared us righteous is how you declare yourself righteous. Homologia, word, it's in Romans chapter 10. Is that going to come up? Yeah, it means, it's coming up in a little while. But homologia, it means saying the same thing God says, right? Homo, same as logia, word of God. Homologia, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that word confess is homologia. Say the same thing God says is what? Say the same word of God. When God declared you righteous, you are to declare yourself righteous. Not by your own doings, but by his. And that's how you overcome the bondages of sin, according to Romans chapter 6 and Romans chapter 7. You declare that right in the middle of your smoking. You want to get free of smoking. You want to get set free of it, right? It won't send you to hell. It'll just send you wherever you're going faster. and make you smell like it on the way. Come on, somebody. All right? And you want to get free. What? Because I've never met anybody who wants to smoke. Not old people. Kids, they're crazy. But older people are like, they know it. They seen the commercials on TV. Come on, you seen a woman with the half her face gone? Y'all seen that commercial? She talking about it. No, thank you. You get it? Nobody wants that. But it'd be having them. Have y'all been caught by anything before? Has anything got y'all?
Yes.
All right, for the rest of y'all liars. Sweet potato pie, banana pudding be having me right now. Come on, somebody. Y'all get it? Ice cream. Yes! Andrea, I saw her over at the Golden, at the, what is the name of that place? Cold Stone, and took pictures of it. Stop taking pictures of your ice cream. Make me want to drive over there. Y'all been over to Cold Stone? Make you rob them. Give me some ice cream. All right. Yeah, so I've never met a person who's on crack, who's on drugs, who's an alcoholic, who wants to be. They don't want to be. They're caught. They're trapped. And if you're trapped, no condemnation. You got it? If you're born again, you're on your way to heaven. You just might go sooner, but you're ruining your testimony in your life. You know it if you've ever been caught up in something, even in bad relationships, you get caught up. To get out, the key is your righteousness. The key is your righteousness. You declaring your righteousness. Remember, I read that to you in John chapter 16. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, but convicts us of righteousness. We're the righteousness of God. God has given you that righteousness to overcome your sin issues. Come on, somebody. All right, we covered all that already. For he, did I read all that? Yes, okay, all right. Go to number three. God's righteousness versus man's righteousness. This is where many people get in trouble, right here. God's righteousness versus man's righteousness. Let's talk about that. That's really my topic today. But Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Romans chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved or sozoed. That means healed, delivered, set free, prospered, right? Paul says, but I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. They so love God. They're so excited about God, but not according to epinosis, not according to revelation knowledge. They have a zeal, but their knowledge is inaccurate. What are they inaccurate about, Paul? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness. And what? And seeking to establish. Oh, I better do this right. I better do this right. I'll lose my righteousness. That's what he's describing right there. Right. Seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to what? The righteousness of God. Come on, how many of y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
Watch this. Look at the next one. For Christ is the end of the law or doing right to be right. Now, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to most to everyone who believes. Now, I have to make sure that you're hearing right. I know what I'm saying, but oftentimes people hear me saying, I can just do anything I want. No, you can't just do anything you want. It will ruin your life and ruin your testimony. Come on, somebody, you ought to feel some kind of way if you cuss somebody out, committing fornication, caught up in foolishness. You ought to feel some kind of way about that. Isn't that right? Say amen right there. Y'all don't make me break it all down. Amen. We ought to. And we shouldn't feel comfortable. We should go to the Lord. But here's what righteousness does. Righteousness, because God knows all of us in this world are missing it. We're missing the mark. Some of us at different levels than others. Some of us at destructive levels. All right? But all of us are missing it to some level because none of us are called God. We're not God.
Right.
He is. None of us are Jesus. He is. He's the perfect one who could pay for our sins. You couldn't, and nobody else could.
That's right.
Get that right. Don't get that twisted. All right? And I'm going to show you. We're going to get a little test here before we get out of here today. So what God gives us this gift of righteousness so we can always come to him. You're caught up on something. You're like, Lord, God, I hate this being addicted to this, or I hate this sin. You went to God, and you said, Lord, forgive me. I'm never going to do this again. You need to do it again.
Yeah.
The devil uses condemnation. We're going to see this all in chapter 5 and 6. The devil uses condemnation to condemn you. Condemnation makes you feel bad about it, and it pushes you down. God gives you the righteousness of God, so you run to him and go, God, thank you that I'm forgiven. Thank you, Lord, that you've cleansed me of my sin. And when 1 John 1 and 9, when it talks about confessing your sin, that's what it's talking about, running to him and saying, Lord, I missed it, but thank you that I'm the righteousness of God. I'm forgiven. Did your confession make your sins forgiven? No, the cross did 2,000 years before you got here. Your believing did. Your believing did. Are you with me? But your conscience gets jacked up. Come on, somebody. Has anybody ever missed it before and you felt like, ooh, God don't want to talk to me just yet? I can't see them people in the church just yet. Maybe God might be all right with me after about a couple weeks. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what righteousness is supposed to prevent. Righteousness should make you get up and go, God, Lord, thank you. I missed it. Father, I need help with this. And he's never going to condemn you. He's never going to run you down. He's going to always come here and say, son, daughter, I love you. I've got you. You're the righteousness of God. And you got to declare you're the righteousness of God. Yeah. That sin, that addiction will lose its grip on you against the righteousness of God. It must be declared. Amen. All right. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who does what?
Believes.
Believes what? That I'm the righteousness of God. Come on, somebody, because of Jesus. Number four foundation. Here we are. Believing versus behaving. Talking about foundations. Believing versus behaving. Amen? Let me ask you like this. Your child, even if they misbehave, are they still your child?
Yes.
They're still your child. They got your blood. I don't even care if they go down to the court and say, I'm emancipating or whatever. They got your blood in their veins. They're your child. When you got born again, you got God's DNA. He can't undo it. Oh. Come on, somebody. That's the truth. All right, believing verse, look over Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if you homologia, there's that word, if you homologia with your mouth, say the same thing God says with your mouth. What am I saying? Jesus is Lord. Plus, coupled with, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be sozoed, healed, saved, set free, delivered. Why, Paul? Why? Because, for, with the heart one does what unto righteousness? Believes. I believe I'm righteous. Why do I believe I'm righteous? Because Jesus was punished for my sin. He was punished for my sin and gave me his righteousness because I believe in him. That's how it works. Amen? And with the mouth, the homologia, with the mouth confession, coupled with believing in my heart that I'm righteous, coupled with saying what God says, brings the healing. Y'all need to know that. That's the bomb right there. You believing in your heart that you're righteous, coupled with saying what God says about you, will bring the salvation, will bring the healing, brings that. It makes it. Y'all see it right there? All right. That's how everything works. The same way you got saved is the same way you get healed. Come on, somebody. You say, but Pastor, I've been believing God for healing. Have you seen heaven yet? How many of y'all seen Jesus? I don't mean just like in some deep song. I mean you've seen him. I know none of y'all have because I'd have your book. We believe in Jesus that we haven't seen. And how many of y'all believe you're going to heaven? That you haven't seen. Any physical evidence of that yet? No. You believe it though. The same way you believe that because you're the righteousness of God is the same way you have to believe you're healed without evidence. But what we do is we go back to our natural senses and say, well, I must not be healed. Well, you must not be saved. You're not in heaven and haven't seen it. Right. You get it? We have two different standards for different things. Come on, somebody. Say, I'm rich because he said I am. I'm healed because he said I am. I'm righteous because he declared I am. It all works like that, yo. That's how it works. Amen. All right. Did y'all see that one? Go to number five. Here's number five. I'm taking too long. 20 minutes. All right. The righteousness is a gift and not a bribe. Righteousness is a gift and not a bribe. Romans chapter 5. Look over at verse 15. And all I want you to do here is just circle every time in your Bible you see gift. All right? Y'all with me? Here's that same chapter. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense, what's his name? Many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace. What's the gift by the grace? Righteousness. Yes. The gift by that unmerited favor is called righteousness. The gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Next. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in what? Condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification or righteousness. For if by one man's offense, we know this one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Say, I reign in life. Do y'all get the power of that? God, this is such a simple truth. If we'll get this, you'll reign in life. This changed my life, man. Right here. A reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to how many? All men, resulting in condemnation. That's what keeps you in sin and at repeating is condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, your righteous act, his righteous act, Jesus' righteous act, the what? The free gift came to how many people? All men, resulting in righteousness or justification of life. What Jesus did caused this gift to become available for everybody. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience. Your obedience, are you that one man?
No.
Stop thinking you're that one man. That's going to be your problem. You're not. He is. And let me show you how important that is. I'm not fussing. I just want y'all to get this. This is so important that you realize that it's him. It's you looking to you that keeps you bound. You looking to him is what makes you free. Come on, somebody. By one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so today I want to talk to you about God's righteousness versus self-righteousness. God's righteousness is not only a doctrine, is what I wrote, but it is the power over sin, which we talked about earlier, and it is the gift that gives access to all God's inheritance. The gift of righteousness is the gift that brings every gift. Let's look at it in the scriptures. Turn to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 30 through 32. How many of y'all learning already? All right, stick with me, stick with me. This is the key, y'all. This is it right here. Good gracious. What shall we say then, Paul says, that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness, they weren't the Jews, you get what he's saying here? The Jews didn't know the law. They couldn't keep the law. They didn't know. They weren't even trying to keep the law. They weren't trying to do right to be right. That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness. Even what? The righteousness of faith. They got it by faith. But Israel pursuing the law of righteousness, being right with the law, doing right to be right, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why couldn't they attain to the law of righteousness? Why couldn't they, when they found out what the law said, keep the law? Because nobody can do it all. Let me show you. Let me show you. Turn. Let's read this last one, and then we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2, and verse 15. Look at this. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. They tried to do right, to be right, by keeping the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. What is the stumbling stone? What's his name? What's his name? That was the organ. I was running down the keys. The stumbling stone, Isaiah said, is Jesus is the stumbling stone. And in Paul describes, the Greeks see Christ as a stumbling stone. What that meant was the Jesus that the Jews killed was actually the one to bring them righteousness. They stumbled at that. They stumbled at Jesus coming. He tripped them up because they're trying to do right to be right, and he's the one who would make them right. He became a stumbling stone for them, all right? Now, let me just show you the law, because many people think they are keeping the law when they're doing good, but watch what the Bible actually says. Deuteronomy, thank you back there. Make some noise from back there, Michelle girls back there. Deuteronomy, y'all familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 28? The blessing and the cursing. Blessing from verse 1 to 14. The cursing begins in verse 15 all the way through 68. Look at what it says. Let's read it closely. Now it shall come to pass if you casually obey, diligently obey the voice of the Lord God, of your God. By the way, in the Hebrew, that says hear and hear. Hear, hear, shama, shama. If you, and now it should come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe casually, to observe carefully most of his commandments. Oh, all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because you obey. Circle obey. You obey the voice of the Lord your God. Jump down to verse 15. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall you be, and on, so on and so forth. It goes all the way down to verse 14, right? Look at verse 15. Here's the flip of the coin. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully some of his commandments, all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. How many commandments are there? How many statutes are they? 613. Thou don't eat lobster, don't eat shrimp, don't eat pork. Yes. All kinds of little stuff. You got it? All that stuff about the Sabbath. All that stuff. But if you, he said, and watch what he says. He makes it real plain here. But it shall come to pass if you don't obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe all 10 of those commandments carefully, all the commandments, and all 613 of those statutes which I command you today, that how many of these curses? All these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because you can't keep them all. It doesn't say keep the ones you can, the ones that really apply to you, the ones you like. It's not like Burger King, have it your way. You got to do it all the way. Right. Are y'all with me? And that's what the law is. You don't just keep the few and say, well, I'm doing the best I can, and I'm doing it better than so-and-so, so I'm good. Wrong. That's the rule. And this is why Jesus said, unless your righteousness is greater than the Pharisees, scribes and the Pharisees, you won't make it. And they kept the law by the letter. Paul said it. Are y'all with me? All right, here, let's go on. Let's go on. I'm picking on you. Jump on over. Jump over to, where was I? I was in 32. Go to chapter 10, verse 1 through 4. All right. Watch this. We read this already, but you remember, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. They're excited, shake tambourines, but not according to epinosis, not according to knowledge, accurate knowledge. For they, what is that? What are they ignorant of? They're ignorant of God's righteousness. How? Seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. All right, I just wanted to set that precedent. Now let's go in a little bit further. Jump, go over to chapter 4, right? What are they ignorant of? God's righteousness. That's what we're going to get revelation on today. Look over at Romans chapter 4. All of Romans is about this. Every chapter. Every chapter from 1 to whatever the last one is, 11 or 12 or 13. All about righteousness. Watch this. For the promise that he, Abraham, the context is Abraham here. This whole chapter is about what did David find out and what did Abraham find out about this righteousness? What did they understand about it? All right? Here's what Abraham found out. For the promise that he would be heir of the cosmos, world, C-O-S-M-O-S in the Greek. It means all this world's earthly assets and goods. For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed. Do y'all know who the seed of Abraham is? We are. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. We're the seed of Abraham, right? For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to us through the law, but through what? The righteousness of faith. We get the inheritance through the righteousness of faith. Look at this next part. For if those who are of the law, what does that mean? Those who think they're right by keeping the law, try to get their righteousness by the law. If those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made no effect. Hear what I'm saying right here. People who get under the law and think that their doings make them right make void faith and the promise of no effect. They gets no healing. They gets no blessings. They void it. Cross it out. Have you ever voided a check? means it's no good. You just made faith void, and you just made the promise have no effect on you. Come on, somebody. That is the state of many believers. And will argue with me about that. And it's so plain. And it hurts me because it's like, oh my God, I'm telling you what I know and I'm telling you what the Bible says. This is what the problem is. Right there. All right, let's prove it out some more. Oh God, this whole chapter talks more about this, but that's enough right there, all right? Let's move on. Turn over in your Bible to Galatians chapter 3, verse 2 through 10. Anybody learning? Y'all happy?
Yes.
All right, watch. This is going to set you free. This is going to set you free. You don't grow in righteousness. You grow in progressive through knowledge of righteousness, knowledge of it. And that's what you're doing, right? Oh, same way grace and peace is multiplied through the epinosis of him. This is Paul, Christian, cussing at the church at Galatia because they started getting back under the law. Y'all remember the book of Galatians? And he said, hey, that's all good that y'all believe in Jesus, but you need to get, people came in saying, well, you need to get circumcised too. It's like, oh my God, who put you under this? Right? They were trying to do right to be right with God under the law. This only I want to learn from you. He's fussing. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by your self-effort? Works of the law is that. You doing right to be right. Or by the hearing of faith? Answer. Hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by your own self-effort or by your flesh? Have you indeed suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Now watch. This is the state of many believers. This is the state of many believers, particularly those that struggle in life. Here it is. They get, and this is what he said. You got saved by faith in Christ. But then they think they have to maintain their salvation by the works of the flesh. And that's the problem. Are you with me? The same way you got saved is the same way you get everything else, by faith in Jesus. Come on, somebody. You can't stop enough stuff, quit enough stuff, change enough clothes. You can't change everything to make you right with God. Okay, I stopped cussing. Am I right with you now, God? Okay, I stopped smoking. I stopped drinking. I stopped going to this place. Now I'm right with God. No, you're not. Jesus is what makes you right with God. Now, those things have a place. Those things have an impact on your life. Come on, somebody. You break the law enough, it's going to affect everything in your life. Are you with me? And it will change your heart towards God, but not God's heart towards you. Come on, somebody. Amen. It was a little tepid. I was like, I'm not so sure about that, Pastor Lee. Have you suffered so many things in vain? So, all right, y'all see that? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by what you've done? Did you earn that by the works of the law? Because Jesus, I stopped fornicating. Now I can receive the Spirit. I was taught like that. Come on, how many of you ever taught like that? That's wrong. Yes, you should stop fornicating. But some people are addicted to some bad situations, and they need to know they're the righteousness of God, that God has gifted them righteousness. That's the only way you overcome that stuff. Come on, somebody, not in your own strength. Come on, I can't even quit potato chips on my own strength. Especially them jalapeno joints. Have y'all had that?
Yeah, good.
And crunchers, gums be all bleeding and everything. Like, these bad boys is hard. Sweating. Okay, sorry. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law? No. Or by the hearing of faith? Yes, it's going to come by you hearing faith. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Next. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham, or the seed of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify or make righteous the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. What does that mean? They're heirs with believing Abraham, like we read earlier in Romans, right? Here's the verse I want you to see. Highlight this in your Bible. For as many as are of the works of the law, Does it say for as many break the works of the law are under the curse? No. For as many as are of the works of the law. What does that mean? That means they try to get their righteousness by keeping the law. They're under the curse that's in your Bible market. Why? Because cursed is everyone who does not continue in some things. In every single detail of the law. Only one person did it. What's his name? What's his name? See, y'all knew who I was talking about. I put a little church on. Only Jesus could do that. He was the only one qualified to die for our sins because he did that. He kept the law perfectly. Had no sin, could be that Lamb of God to die for our sin. The Lamb has to be spotless, blameless. He was the only one who could do it. You can't do anything for your sin other than accept him. Say amen right there. All right, do y'all see that? To do that, okay, all right. Now, we're almost there. We're almost to my test, and then we're going to take a test, and we're going to go home, go over to Subway or Chicken Place. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Tell the person next to you, say, you are the righteousness of God. Tell them. I'm telling you, you get a hold of this. This is going to change every aspect of your life. This will blow up in you like a light bulb. I mean, it's like a light going off. What? I'm the righteousness of God by a gift? Yes. It'll make you fall in love with Jesus. It'll make you fall in love with Jesus for real when you realize, Lord, I want to get over this problem. I want to get over this broke. I want to get over this addiction. I want to get over this sin. And when you do it, you blow it, he doesn't beat you up. You run to him and say, thank you, Father, that I'm forgiven. You'll run to him, and that's what he wants. The devil wants you to run from him. And this is what most people do. They get caught up in something, and then they disappear from church. And the devil beats them and beats them. And then I see their life 5 or 6 years later, toe up, divorce, messed up, everything tore up. Come on, somebody. We've been given this gift of righteousness so we can run to him. Have y'all, if you got kids, you get this. If you got kids, you get this. Your kids, they blow it. They blow it, but you love them. I mean, you're angry because you're human, but you love them. And then when you bring them in and say, listen, I love you, they will run to you instead of from you. Are y'all listening to me? They'll run to you and you say, hey, I love you. We're going to help you. It's a whole different scenario now. They love me. They're for me and not against me. Right. Are you with me? Amen. Here's Paul. Watch Paul explain this. Paul chapter 3. We're almost there. For we are the circumcision. That means he's a Jew, right? And who worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in self-effort or the flesh or the works of the law. Me doing right to be right. That's all that means. Though I might have confidence in the flesh. What does he mean by that? He's going to explain. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I'm more so. You think you got game? I got more game. He's going to list his resume here. Circumcised on the eighth day. Stop playing. Of the stock of Israel. I'm the real deal. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Stop playing. I know my tribe. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, please, I'm a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Stop playing. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I kept it. Watch what he says next, though. But what things were gained to me, keeping the law, being perfect in the eyes of the law, these I have counted loss for Christ. These didn't do me any good in the kingdom of God. Why? Because I'm leaning on my own ability and I'm not leaning on his righteousness. There's power in righteousness. Watch this. Yet indeed, I count all these things loss, all that stuff he listed, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Anybody got an old King James? Anybody got a, yes. What is that word right there, rubbish? Dung. Thank you. Interpretation? Doo-doo. All that stuff is boo-boo. Come on, somebody. Why? That I may gain Christ. Oh, my God. Hold on, let me back up. Back up a verse? Yeah. Yet indeed I count all this loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as boo-boo, rubbish. Why? That I may gain Christ. Me saying what I've done right and leaning on that keeps me from Christ. Look at this next one. And be found in him. Back up so I can look at the last words. Look at it. Yeah. And be that I may gain Christ. Next. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Why? That I may epinosis him. Watch what he's saying here. You don't even get to really know Christ when you're trying to be right with him by your own doings. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The resurrection power that Christ lives in, that raised him from the dead, is the same power that's in you. It's activated through righteousness. Come on, that's what I'm trying to get y'all to see. It's knowing that he's your righteousness. Now watch. That doesn't mean, oh, okay, now I'm just going to go. I got to keep restating this because I know some people hear this wrong. They're hearing me say, now I can fornicate, lie to Kate, adulticate, whatever. Whatever your thing is. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, yeah, you know, so you don't put yourself in situations. I'm not trying to cuss. I'm not trying to do those things. But when I miss it, if I miss it as a believer, I may miss it. I may do things that are wrong. I'm going to quickly go, Father, thank you that I'm the righteousness of God. Help me with this. Help me with this. Am I going to get it all under condemnation? I'm not going to feel good if I cussed you out. I wouldn't cuss you out. Come on, somebody. You get what I'm saying? Amen. But this has changed your life, and it's changed my life, and it's changed yours. That I may know him in the resurrection of his power and the fellowship of his sufferings. You'll get what he's saying here. Because he took on all my sin and punishment, I now stand in his righteousness, being conformed to his death. Amen? All right, y'all get that? Isn't that good news? All right, now we're going to take a little test. Because everybody thinks they believe in the righteousness of God. All of us have some self-righteousness. And this, Jesus told us how to identify it. So this isn't a test where we raise our hand. This is just a self-examination, all right? Look over in your Bible, Luke chapter 18. We're closing with this last passage. Luke chapter 18, let's begin at verse 9. I'm going to read from the NIV. NIV. All the translations are good, but NIV is really cool. Watch this. Jesus saying this to some who were confident of their own righteousness. All right, we get it right there, right? And watch this. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. He's just giving us characteristics of self-righteousness. Next verse, 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Remember how much tax collectors were? I've taught on this before. Simon, a tax collector. What was the one guy's name? Zacchaeus, the notorious ZAC. You know he had gold chains and he had lots of women. He was, right? People putting grapes in his mouth, fanning him. He was just cool in a fan, wore Versace and Gucci. I've taught on that a lot. But they were hated because they were Jews who were taking money from, tax money from the Jews and getting rich, giving it to the Romans. You get how ugly that is? Rome came over, invaded Israel, and now these own Jewish people, it's like African slavery, when the Africans sold other Africans into white slavery. What they were doing was robbing their own Israeli people and giving it to the Romans who were treating them poorly. The tax collectors were evil. They were hated by their own people, right? So let's get the story. Back up to verse 10 so we can see it again if you don't mind. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, you get it, real religious guy, and the other a tax collector, hated by the Jews. You get it? Next, please. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector over there. He's praying. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get, right? But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive me, right? Jesus says, I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified, righteous before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. All right, y'all get the text? Let's go back. Let's see what Jesus said here, and then we're going home, all right? Let's look at verse 9. First thing he said was, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else. First symptom of self-righteousness is you looking down on others. Okay, let me make this plain for you. All of us know people, see people who aren't as fortunate as we are. Many because of their poor choices. Many because they, you know, just some bad things happen in life, whatever the case. But any time that you and I look down on them because we have more, we've made better choices, God's talking to us here. Because if it weren't for the grace of God, you and I would not be making the choices we made. You and I could be out on a corner right now with a sign. Had God not got through to you, you and I would be caught up in some foolishness. And God is saying, no, it doesn't matter what you've got. All of us should have compassion and be tender towards people, even when they're making poor choices. How many of y'all have made some poor choices in life? Hallelujah. We all have. And God is saying here, he says, no, don't get into this. And watch, and this isn't for condemnation. This is for us to say, Lord, forgive me. Help me. When I get in a judgmental position where I start thinking of myself highly, or and it's nothing but the grace of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that I'm not on drugs. Thank you that I'm in my home, that I'm not homeless. It'll give you compassion. Are y'all listening to me? Let's go to the next one. Here's the next self-examination symptom. Look at verse 11. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed. God, I thank you that I am not, the moment I becomes all your prayers. I'm not like those other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. You see, I. What is it? He's not like other people. He sees himself not like other people. Here's the truth of the matter. We're just like everybody. We're just like everybody, but not for the grace of God. For the gift of righteousness that God enabled you to hear it. Now watch. We preach the, and this is why it's so important that we preach the gospel to everybody in a loving way. Now, not everybody will receive it. Not everybody will receive it. You'll get it? And there are some people who, I know this because I'm a pastor, there are some people who will just use you and use you. And this doesn't mean you just have to be stupid. You get what I'm saying? There are some people who don't want your wisdom, who only want your handouts, who only say, no, you just pay my bills. No, I'm trying to tell you so you can pay your own bills here. No, I don't care about that. You got it? Now, that doesn't mean you're going to pay their bills unless you want to. But you lovingly understand that, well, Lord, and you can pray for them. Say, Lord, open their eyes to see. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? Open their, and you can be loving and not mean to people. But you're not there, thank God I ain't like that. And all of us can have a tendency to look down on people who make poor choices. All of us can. Isn't that right? So, again, not condemnation, but we just have to watch those things because that's when we get into self-righteousness and stops the grace of God from flowing. What causes you and I to be blessed is the grace of God, the unmerited faith. You didn't deserve this. We receive it in abundance because we understand how this operates. Receiving abundance of grace means, Lord, I can't earn it and I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. I don't do things right enough. But it's because of Jesus and your goodness that I receive from you. Thank you for loving me enough. Amen. People get funny when, haven't y'all ever seen this happen? Somebody comes to the church, they smell like cigarettes and weed and alcohol. They get saved. They don't know nothing about Jesus. You get what I'm saying? They toe up from the flow up. But they believe what pastor's saying up here. They just believe it. Good God, I'm the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Somebody blesses them. They get a new car. They get a new job. They get everything. And you sitting here and been in church singing in the choir, ushering, greeting, standing in the parking lot in the rain, and a wrecker has to come and get your car every week out the parking lot. We towed your car last week because it left here 2 days. Like, whose car is that? I don't know. Tow it. It was one of the ushers. I can't stand God. God, why you ain't bless me? I pay my tithes. I come to church. Right there is self-righteousness. The moment you lean on what you did to be blessed, you just stepped into unrighteousness, self-righteousness. That's what God's talking about. And that's what that dude was doing. I thank you that I'm not like them. I pay. Here, let's go to the next one. Y'all see that? Let's look at verse 12. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. I talking about what he does. The moment we think what we do, and you may have made some good choices. Yes, you went to college. You got a graduate degree. Got a whole bunch of letters behind your name. I know a bunch of college graduates, a bunch that are unemployed. Right. Come on, somebody. And that, all that's good. All that has its place. Don't get me wrong. Good works has its place. Education has its place. Where it gets out of place is when you trust in it and not him. And you give yourself credit for your smarts and for your ability and not him. Thank you, Lord, that I have a right mind. Thank you, Jesus. Because all it takes is a little imbalance to throw you off and you sitting in a chair with somebody else pushing you around. Come on, somebody. We lean on the, I'm trying to get us to lean on the grace of God, not condemn us, because I'm in the same boat. Come on, somebody. All right, go to verse 14 and we're going home. Jesus said this, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified. The tax collector went home justified before God, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Do you hear what he's saying right here? When I humble myself and say, Lord, it's because of you. I can't do anything without you, Lord. I'm going to do my best in my ability. You get what I'm saying? And if I succeed in it, it's not going to be because I'm good. It's because he's good. And that's going to be your key to life. Your key in success in life is you looking to Jesus and always recognizing that it's him. All things are held together by him. Your mind is held together. Your family's held together. Yes, you may have made some good choices, but you need to thank God for it. Come on, somebody. Close your Bible. Y'all get that? Throw your hands up. Father, I thank you that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank you for your favor in our life. Teach us more and more as we go through this series, Lord, to understand where works, the place of works, and how good works before men are good, but it's not what gets us right standing with you. Yes, we should do well and do our best and absolutely shouldn't put ourselves in situations that are compromising and all those types of things. Yes, we understand that, and we'll understand that more. But Lord, help us to get clear in our hearts and in our minds that you're our righteousness, and every way that we overcome is through you. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through him that loved us. Not through us that loved us. Through him that loves us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all receive that today? Isn't that good news, y'all? Keep coming back, because I got a whole lot more. Amen. Anybody here for the first time? You ain't been here before, and here you are tonight looking at us getting ready to go get some ice cream with Andrea and them. Girl, you got any of that ice cream left, girl? No, I saw it in the thing. I was like, oh, Lord. What'd you get? The Oreo joint. Okay. Uh-huh, that's Brooke back there with that Oreo. Yes. Sinead's on that chocolate devotion or something like that. Something like that, yeah. With the caramel and the chocolate and the brownies and chocolate chips. She said, don't put the chocolate chips in. Add some extra caramel. Stop playing. I see my daughters back there like, yes, we love that place. Y'all got your seed? How many tithers? Listen, y'all, this works in finances too. You're the righteousness of God. Learn to trust him in your finances. Amen. Learn to trust him. That's what you're doing with your righteousness, with sin challenges, is you're saying, God, I trust your righteousness. It's humility, saying, I can't do this in my own strength. I can't open doors in my own strength. I can't do it. I'm trusting in you. It's humility. Tithing is humility. Get your seed, get your tithe out. Praise the Lord. Y'all got your seed? Amen. Let's make this faith confession. Let's go home, y'all. Stand up on your feet. Y'all learn tonight? Keep going. We're going to go deeper and deeper and deeper. I'm going to explain everything. You aren't going to have any questions. If you do, you will. I'll try to cover all that as well. But I'm going to cover, someone asked me last week about Hebrews 10 and all that. I'll explain all that. I'll explain all that stuff. Just know this is very simple first. Let me lay down the foundations and we'll explain all the details. All right? Grab your seed. Let's make this faith confession real loud and strong. Say it. I profess that I've come into the inheritance which you swore to give me. I have entered the rest which you have provided for me in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Because you, Jesus, are my Lord and High Priest, I bring the tithe of all my increase to you and worship you with it. You have provided for me through your finished work on the cross. That's right. All of my needs are met in superabundance. I reign in life because I receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Now I thank you, Heavenly Father, that the windows of heaven are open right now, pouring me out a blessing so great and large that I don't have room enough to receive it. Satan cannot touch my body, my mind, my family, my money, or my stuff. I am blessed with all earthly and heavenly blessings because of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus on the cross. Say it. I am blessed. Come on. I am wise, healthy, and wealthy, and the come on, somebody make some noise for Jesus. Ushers, serve the people. Y'all good? Don't miss Sunday. We're still talking about single, being single, and how to get to the marriage altar God's way versus recreational dating. God has principles in the scripture, and I'm showing those to you. We had such a great time Sunday. If you missed, be sure and get online and catch it. And we're going to continue on this Sunday. Hopefully, I'll finish up with this portion of it Sunday. We're going to get into marriage and raising children. The scriptures are your schematic for victory. Amen. In every area of your life. Tell that person standing next to you, say, God's got great things in store for you. Say, he's not finished with you yet. Hey, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's so simple to be born again. It's this simple. Just say this simple prayer after me. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and that you're made righteous by believing in him. Say this confession with your mouth. Say this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead just for me. You're my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my provider, my protector, my righteousness. You're my everything. Right now, I'm forever forgiven. I'm saved. If you said that simple prayer, you're really born again, forever forgiven. That's what it is right there. Come back on Sunday. Bring somebody with you. God's got great things in store for you. I declare you blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. I love y'all. Can't wait to see you on Sunday morning. Peace.